I try not to pull out gimmicks with children. But when I saw in a quick internet search that I could find grasshoppers, which are close cousins to locusts, at a Mexican restaurant in the East Village, I couldn't resist. It is biblical, after all. And just as God gave the prophet Ezekiel a scroll to eat, which empowered him to then prophesy God's word, my hope is that by eating a few grasshoppers, the similar kind of bug to which John the Baptist ate, I will find the kind of voice John spoke 2,000 years ago. But maybe that is not a voice people want to hear. To many, John's words are about as palatable as a mouthful of grasshoppers. John comes from the wilderness, which means he was living outside of the rule of Rome. He was living off the land, eating foods provided by the earth that he did not have to buy, much like the Hebrews did while they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years on their journey toward freedom, in that time when they had to rely on God for every bit of nourishment they needed. Repent, for the kingdom of God has come near. Rather than receiving these words for ourselves and our own lives, we want to look over our shoulder to see who John must have been talking to, maybe in the pew behind us, or the people who voted the wrong way, or the Sadducees or Pharisees, people who lived in another millennium. Surely not me. In this church and in others I have served, I have heard from some people how they do not like going through the prayer of confession. For some, there is legitimate scarring that happened from previous religious experiences in churches that assured followers that they are dirt, worthy only of fire and brimstone, and, if not for Jesus, taking one for the team by dying on the cross, God would have really given it to them. They see the prayer of confession and think they're being shamed again. Others really believe they are above it all. They may read each line of the confessions and check their clean consciousness with each statement. Nope, not me. Guess this one must have been written for the other deplorables in the room. Let's pass the peace. And yet, our church's lectionary text gives this message to us today as we prepare the way for the Christ child to be born. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Have you ever looked in a mirror's reflection of a mirror? Do you see the infinite reflection, mirror image of a mirror image of a mirror image of a mirror image? As we read John, who tells us to repent, he reflects the words back in Isaiah, who tells us, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. The Greek word for repent, metanoia, implies a changing of mind and a changing of life. It is a call that gets repeated through the Bible, through prophets, priests, and patriarchs. Lillian Daniel notes, it is not coincidence that Jesus tells us both to love your neighbor and love your enemy, because often they are the same person. I often wonder that about Sadducees and Pharisees, who often play the foil to what Jesus is trying to teach, but are always hovering about in Jesus' inner circle. And before Jesus even enters the scene, there these guys are, showing up for John's baptism. It's not clear whether they actually want to be baptized or if they're just watching to see if he's doing it right. If he is holding to the tradition, which probably resembled the mikveh practice, a sacred bath for ritual cleansing, that was outlined in the Torah. John tells them that who they are, who they came from, doesn't matter. The fact that they are ancestors of Abraham and Sarah doesn't matter. Abraham, whose offspring bears the covenant that God made with Abraham, that his children will be as numerous as the stars in the sky. Sarah, who laughed when she overheard an angel tell Abraham that he will bear a son through her. What? Should I share pleasure again with my husband in this old age? Well, through her, a shoot grew out of what was thought to be a stump, the dead end to this couple's fertility. Pretty amazing what God can do, huh? But what matters most is not the soil a person comes from, but the fruit the person bears. John demands that we not just rest on the laurels or privilege of our ancestors, but that we expect more even than what they were offered of the world as we participate in a future that God helps to build for us. What the ancestors did? It's pretty great, but God could do it all over again just from these very stones lying around the ground. What can you do today? Just when we accept the inevitability of winter and the death of all new growth, we talk about shoots growing up. African American women have a traditional saying of how they and their foremothers make a way out of no way. No money, no support, no rights, and yet, look at the ordinary and remarkable women who have prevailed against all odds to stretch the dollar, raise their families, teach the faith, who have escaped to freedom, created amazing art and music, and contributed to the building of a nation while also offering an important voice of resistance. Because there was first Harriet Tubman, Sojourner Truth, Rosa Parks, Nina Simone, Angela Davis, Alice Walker, and Michelle Alexander, Michelle Obama can be the phenomenal woman she is. I'm clearly not a black woman, but I have been awed by the stories of what women like those I just mentioned have been able to accomplish despite being on the margins of those typically granted privilege in society. While it's tempting for me to sit on my sofa with sighs too deep for words, as I look at the state of our country and fear the rollback of civil rights, of immigrant welcome, and of so much more, I know I cannot afford that indulgence. The kingdom of heaven has come near, as John the Baptist has said. I must be ready to bear good fruit, lest the axe fall on me. I must not look at the stump and assume it is a dead end, a done deal. Something green must grow from this. The Talmud has a saying that every blade of grass has an angel that bends over it and whispers, "Grow, grow." When I go to family gatherings, I am now that auntie who squeals over her nieces and nephews and says, "Look at how much you've grown." The angels have certainly been whispering over these children, just as they whispered over me and caused me to grow when I was a girl. Isaiah says that a little child shall lead us into that peaceful metanoia, the changing of minds and of lives that God wants for us. A child shall show us the world where the wolf will lie down with the lamb, the world where none will hurt or destroy on all God's holy mountain. As I consider the future for my own daughter, I am heartened by the relentless commitment of many younger than me to set the world right again. As we await the Christ child, we open ourselves to the possibility that the kind of power that can change the world can come in the weakest possible form. Some cultures eat bugs as a regular part of their diet, you know. I have eaten chocolate-covered ants in France, grubs in Zimbabwe, and fried crickets in China. They are a terrific and abundant source of protein, many food scientists say, and consuming them has minimal impact on the environment. Maybe John's ideas aren't so wild after all. And besides, along with the bugs John ate, he had honey to go with it, which would have soothed the tongue after the sharp prickle of bug legs. Honey reminds us of a sweet grace, of a God who, generation after generation, has sought the lost, has redeemed the wretched, and promised peace to the weary. Today, we look in a mirror and see what the sweet history has repeated and reflected. And we look toward tomorrow and see how it can be born in us anew. Thanks be to God. Amen.